Amen, amen. Let's give God another hand clap of praise for our worship team leading us today. Ben and the team, thank you all so much for leading us. And then thank you for being present today. Outside, it's a beautiful thing to enjoy God's good creation. And for us to be under the tent, outside the tent, and those who are viewing online, man, we thank God for Trinity Church. This is, we have a larger church than we realize. The number of people that are online, some of you who are here for the first time, for that, we are super, super grateful to God. Thank you for enduring it's a beautiful day, but thank you for enduring the heat a little bit. Those in the back, the premium seats in the back, the shade, and those who are enduring the gnats under the tent. Watch that woman called Tanya Williams, because she will steal your bug spray. So she has the bug spray up here just to herself. And so for those of you who don't know, that's my wife. All right. So we can play that way. Super, super grateful that you are here today. For those of you who are brand new, we are walking through a series of messages through the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is all about believing that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. One of the things that Jesus says is that he wants his joy in our lives, and that joy might be full to overflowing. He says he wants his joy in our lives, and that joy might be full to overflowing. In fact, that's what he says. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." But the interesting thing is that joy is elusive, and we get it mixed up with happiness. Happiness is based on happenings. Joy is something totally, totally different. And yet we know that Jesus wants us to have joy, but there are so many of us who are living on empty, who are living without joy. We're kind of like this container. This container represents us, where our lives, I mean, we know that we should have joy. But ultimately and eventually, it feels like we're running on empty all the time, especially for believers. Believers, we have been promised joy, and yet when we pour our lives out, there is nothing to be found in it. There's the lack of joy, the lack of hope, the lack of purpose, and we feel like we come even to a place like this. We sing songs like this, and we read the scripture, we go to small groups, and it feels as if our lives are empty. Now, what's even worse is we try to fill it with all kinds of things. We try to fill our lives so that we might have joy. We try to fill it with stuff, whether stuff is cars or houses or shoes or clothes or what have you. Technology, we fill it with stuff. The interesting thing is that even trying to fill it with stuff, we come up woefully short and painfully still not having joy to the brim. But not only do we fill it with stuff, we try to fill it with work and money. We try to fill it with more hours and more money, because if you have more money, you can buy more stuff. And you can actually work. In order to have more money, you have to work more hours, and to work more hours to get more money to buy more stuff. I tried to get that famous rapper DJ Blake Ashdown to come and do his international single, but I think he's traveling the world right now for the holiday weekend. Maybe we'll try to get him here a little bit later in the year. But we try to fill more our lives with more things, work and money, and then we try to fill it with status and influence. The advent of social media has created this platform to create influencers and those who are chasing status. And we fill our lives with those things as well, and it still comes up woefully short, so short of what Jesus had in mind. We'll come back to this in just a bit. But we fill our lives with all kinds of things, and we still come up short. The key question is, how do we then access the joy that Jesus promised? How do we access the joy, the overflowing to the brim joy that Jesus promised? Now, I know people in this room, you want that joy. You want more than happiness, that when all Hades break loose, you are ready. You are still filled with this sense of God's purpose in your life. Well, that's what we're talking about today. So if you have a copy of the scriptures, turn with me to John 16. John 16. We're going to get some of these gnats saved today. So John 16. John 16. We're going to be looking at verses 23 and 24. John 16, verses 23 and 24. This is what it says. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your, here it is, that your joy may be full. Now, when Jesus says in that day, he is talking about after his resurrection and after his ascension. Essentially, he is saying that in that day, when I am no longer physically present with you, you are now going to talk directly to the Father. You're going to talk directly to the Father and bring all of your needs and concerns to the Father. And he says, you can ask whatever you wish. Now, that sounds good to me. That sounds really good to me. Probably it sounds good to you as well. Well, I mean, like we can ask for anything. Well, not so fast. Now, we can interpret this way, way too broadly and miss Jesus's point. We can find ourselves overreaching and actually interpreting his words in a way that Jesus never intended for his words to be interpreted. Eventually also, if you pray with this unlimited scope, you're going to run into contradictions. What about the two teams, the two football teams, or the two soccer teams, or the two baseball teams that have Christian coaches? Which side is God on? If you have parents who are Christians or other individuals, team members who are Christians, will God share sides at halftime for one team and then go to the other side for the other team? Will, in the seventh inning stretch, will he go and sit on another's sideline? I don't think that's the way we should interpret that. What did Jesus mean about when he said what he said in this passage? Jesus meant everything that he said, but we have to understand what he meant by what he said. Now, in order to pray the prayer that Jesus said to pray, he says there is a prerequisite. There is something that that has to be specifically true in order for us to pray this way, and in order for us to increase our chances to pray and receive answers to audacious prayers. And Jesus says that prerequisite is praying in my name. Praying in Jesus' name. If you are a follower of Jesus, and when you pray, you may have been taught, after you finish your prayers, close your prayers in what? In, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. In fact, if you don't close your prayers that way, the people around you will come back and tack on another prayer to your prayer because they feel your prayer is illegal. Because you have not closed the prayer in Jesus' name. So the question is it necessary for us to close our prayers in Jesus' name? I think there are some people who view in Jesus' name as a kind of a good luck charm. I can pray anything that I want, and if I, as long as I'm closing it with in Jesus' name, then God will do it for me. If I close it in Jesus' name, then it really doesn't matter what I pray because God is going to answer that prayer. So the question is, if joy is connected to the way I pray, then we have to ask the question, how then should we pray? So here's a big idea that I want to try to get across today. The way we pray is the key to accessing joy every day. The way we pray, how we pray, is the key to accessing joy every day. And so Jesus says, I want you to pray in my name. So the question that we should be asking, what does it then mean to pray in Jesus' name? If it's not just tacking it on to the end when I pray, then what does it mean? It has to mean more than something. It's a good luck charm that I tack on, or it's a talisman that I have in my back pocket. We have to ask the question, if Jesus says, pray in my name, what then does it mean? Well, the first thing is this. To pray in Jesus' name means this. I have placed my trust in Jesus as Messiah and Savior and Lord. Look at verse 23. In that day, the day I am raised from the dead and the day I ascend back to the Father, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you. So Jesus is not talking about the entire world. He is talking about his disciples. He is talking to individuals who have, in fact, placed their trust in him to follow him. So here's a hot take. Prayer is for the Christian. Prayer is for, praying in Jesus' name is for the Christian. Now, that is not to say that non-Christians cannot pray and should not pray, or that non-Christians won't, their prayers won't be heard. That is not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that God has not promised to hear unbelievers' prayers. He has promised to hear the prayers of his children. He has promised to hear the prayers of those who have placed their trust in him and to follow him and to love him and to serve him. So Jesus is talking to his disciples. And believing in Jesus is more than mental assent. It is placing my full weight on Jesus. It's placing my full weight on his death and his burial and his resurrection. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And so the first meaning of what it means to pray in Jesus' name is to say that I have placed my full trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. So if you're here today, the question to ask is not should I pray in Jesus' name or not. The first question that I think we should ask is, have I made a commitment to Jesus Christ? Because if you have, then you and I have access to the name of Jesus to pray in that powerful name, believing that Jesus is in fact the Son of God, that he died and was raised again. Those are the two prerequisites for what it means to be a Christian. And so, have I placed my trust in Jesus? So if the way I pray is a key to accessing joy every day, it's when I pray in his name. And so what does it mean to first pray in his name? Is to actually place my trust in him. Secondly, what it means to pray in Jesus' name is I depend on the merit of Jesus and not my own. I depend on the merit of Jesus and not my own. In other words, it is based on Jesus and not me. Now, as Americans, we love our independence and we love our own stuff. We love to get all A's and we love to show others how good we are. And yet part of what it means to pray in Jesus' name is to say, I have no merit at all coming to God. It is only by the merit of Jesus Christ, what he's done on the cross, that I come to a holy God. It is not because I have served at Trinity for 30 years. It is not because I have led Bible study for 15 years. It's not because I have served at VBS. We want you to serve at VBS, but your serving at VBS will not get you, get God to answer your prayer. It's not because you served and sacrificed your time. It's not because you've read the Bible every day. It's not because you've served at soup kitchens. It's not because you have gone on retreats. It is not because I have preached the word. It is none of that. It is none of that, because if that were the case, then I could come to God and say, here is all the stuff that I've done. So now, God, answer my prayers. What it means to pray in Jesus' name is to say, it is Jesus and Jesus alone, his merit and his merit alone, that I come to God. So for instance, my wife and I, we bank at PNC. If I went to PNC on tomorrow and said, hey, I would like to withdraw $3 million. After they laugh at me, okay, no, we don't have that, all right? Don't have that. I'm just letting you all know. After they laugh me out of the bank and call security for me, they're going to call security because I don't have enough funds. I am coming in my own name. And my name is, I like my name, I love my name, but my name is insufficient to withdraw $3 million. But what if I came back the next day and I had a check from LeBron James, the new billionaire? His name is on the check made out to Marvin and Tanya Williams. If y'all know LeBron, can y'all just tell him right now, just go ahead and write that check, all right? Let this get out on the airwaves so he can hear it, right? So after the bank says, hey, this is legitimate, this is a legitimate check, they will cash that check and give me $3 million. Why? Because it's LeBron's name. And I'm quite sure LeBron has enough money in his bank to cover that check he just gave me. It is in his name that I would get the money. Well, that's the same way it is that Jesus is the billionaire, trillionaire of heaven. And his riches never go out. And so when I go to God, when you go to God and we pray big and audacious prayers, guess what? We are coming not in our own name, but we are coming in the name of the Son of God, the one who died, rose again, is now sitting at the right hand of God. It is in his name we pray. It is by his merit we come to a holy God. And so we can actually come first. What it means to pray in Jesus' name, it means first that I am a believer. Secondly, I am depending on Jesus' merit and not my own. Here's a third explanation of what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. I am aligned with the character of Jesus. Third, it means I am aligned with the character of Jesus. And that simply means is I am praying in the will of God. I am praying according to what the scriptures say. So when I pray in Jesus' name and I pray, God, would you kill my annoying neighbor in Jesus' name? He's not going to hear that prayer. And you know, he's not going to hear that prayer because it is a conflict of God's will. Let's take our two Christian teams, our coaches and Christian coaches and Christian players, and to pray in Jesus' name aligned with the will of God. Are we praying like, hey, God, in Jesus' name, I want one of the players, their best player on that opposite team, to get hurt so that our team can win? No, that's not right, so that's not in alignment with Jesus' name. But what another prayer would be, so let's take, what would be a prayer that might be more aligned with the will of God if you have two Christian teams playing each other in the championship game? What would be a prayer that would be more aligned with the will of God? Just to throw it out. Okay, the best team win. Pray that no one gets hurt. Yeah, what? They give glory to God as they play. Cover them. I know some of you all want to say, but our team, God, we want our team to win. In fact, we got more Christians on our team than they have on their team. And because we do, please hear our prayer. No, a prayer that's more aligned, that no one would get hurt, that God would get glory, that parents would lead their children in such a way that honors God and blesses their children. So part of what it means to pray in Jesus' name is to actually yield and align my will with God's will. Listen to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked. And so the question that we should be asking, are my motives right? And am I praying within the will of God? You know, prayer to like God, may that couple break up so that I can get together with that other person. That is not in the will of God. Praying that someone would get hurt. Just like for those of you who follow basketball this week, you know, Draymond Green is, him and Kendrick Perkins, they've been kind of going at it with each other. And Kendrick Perkins said, before Boston played the Cavaliers a number of years ago, he prayed that LeBron would get hurt. LeBron is the best player in the world, but he prayed that he would get hurt. I would say, you know, Perk, God is not going to answer that prayer just because it is outside the will of God. And then finally, what it means to pray in Jesus' name is I am submitting to the will of Jesus. I am submitting to the will of Jesus. In other words, we are yielding to the cross. We are yielding to suffering at times. If we're praying and we're praying that God would take the suffering away, maybe God is saying, I'm using this suffering to actually bring something out in you. I think praying in Jesus' name for in the midst of suffering would be, number one, God, would you please lift the suffering? Yes. Would you please heal our bodies? Yes. But I believe a second way we can pray in Jesus' name is to say, God, if you choose not to heal me now, transform me in the suffering. And not only transform me in and through the suffering, but may the suffering that I'm experiencing now be a blessing to other people. So may they see the death and resurrection of Jesus in me as I suffer, so that they might go deeper in their walk with Jesus. We don't tend to pray prayers like that. So Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 42. Then Jesus went with them to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it. And then he says, your will be done. So the way we pray is the key to accessing joy every day. So how then should we pray? Jesus said, you should pray in my name. Now, it's not that they never prayed to God before. At this point, is that they had never prayed in Jesus' name. So what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? It first means to, I am a follower of Jesus. It's a question. Are you a Christian? Not people who go to church, but someone who genuinely follows Jesus. Secondly, I am coming to God on the merit of Jesus and not my own. So I got to check my motives. Like, it's not because of anything that I've done. Father, it is purely on the account of what Jesus did. And Jesus' name is powerful. Third, praying in Jesus' name means that I am actually praying with the character of Jesus in mind. It's my will and my character is aligned with his. And then finally, am I submitting my entire life to Jesus? And you say, Marvin, that means that my prayers are limited. No, that means no. You can pray big and audacious prayers. And when you do, Jesus says the end result will be this joy to overflowing. So we come woefully short. We add all kinds of stuff in our lives, status and popularity, and it comes up short. But Jesus says, when you pray in my name, and when you pray according to my will, and when you pray submitting to my will, And when you pray as a family member of God, you're not on the outside. You are a family member of God. Your Father is rich. Your Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Your Father is not a pauper. Your Father is not some poor person. Your Father is richer than Warren Buffett. Your Father is richer than LeBron James. You have access to all of heaven, not on your own, but because of Jesus. And when you and I pray in Jesus' name, when you and I say, we're coming to you, Father, and we're praying in his name, this is what he does. Overflowing. Overflowing. Your joy and my joy will overflow. Why? Because we're praying in his name and God answers those prayers. And when God answers those prayers, he fills us with joy to overflowing. So we don't come in our own name. We don't come according to our own merit. We come in his name. And when we do, the way we pray gives us access to his joy every day. So, what I want you to do, I want you to be, as we get ready to take communion, I want you to write down a prayer request on your index card. A prayer request on your index. This is something you either have been praying or that you desire to pray, or you were afraid to pray because you figured the bank of heaven was closed. Now, work through those. Am I a Christian? I get to pray this prayer. Number two, am I coming in the merit of Jesus and not because I'm expecting Jesus to do something because I feel like I'm good? Is my character aligned with his character? Am I living in the will of God right now? And then will I submit to his will in my life? So what I want you to do, I want you to write down a big, hairy, audacious prayer that God has been placing in your heart. Big, hairy, audacious prayer. It can be something very simple, something you've been wanting to pray but you've been afraid to pray. So I want you to keep that. I want you to write that down on that index card. And then, as you're doing that, we are here the first weekend of the year. And together we take communion. We gather together to remember Jesus's death on the cross. Now, if you are a believer, you are free, and we encourage you to take the elements. We encourage you to. If Trinity is not your home, your church home, but you are a follower of Jesus, you're free, and we invite you to. But if you're not a believer, this probably doesn't make a lot of sense to you, because I've not submitted my life to Jesus as my Savior and Lord. But you can even do that now. Jesus, I trust you. I recognize that I'm a sinner far from you. But today, I place my faith and trust in your death and your resurrection. And if so, if you're that person, you are free to take communion as well. So this bread represents Jesus' broken body, represents his broken body for you and for me. And this juice represents his shed blood. It's a big piece of bread. It's a lot of juice. And I want you to keep this in mind, that his body was broken for all of you. Remember, I told you, he's not a pauper. He's not impoverished. There's enough broken body for every single person who would trust Jesus. So, take the bread, and as you think about and reflect on all that Jesus has done, I want you to either take a bite or take a piece off, and let's receive the bread together. And the juice represents his shed blood, enough to atone for, forgive the sins of the world. And as you reflect on Jesus's shed blood, I want you to want us to drink together. And now what I want you to do, if you don't mind, we'll close this part. If you'll stand with me. And I want you to take your card with that prayer on it. If you don't mind, and I want you to hold it high. If you've already written on it, take it and hold it high. Because what we're about to do now, we're going to pray in Jesus' name. How many of you know his name is powerful? His name is powerful enough to break chains. His name is powerful enough to reveal his will to your life. His name is powerful enough to take away an addiction. His name is powerful enough for if you're infertile, for God to give a baby. His name is powerful enough to bring you a mate or a spouse. His name is powerful enough to cause you to thrive as a single. His name is powerful enough to get you that job. His name is powerful enough to take transformation deep in your life, to give you courage to speak to your neighbor. His name is just that powerful. We do not serve a God who is poor. We do not serve a God who is impotent. We serve a God who is all powerful. And he says, if you want to see your joy go off the charts, pray in my name. I got one little kid that said, amen. Yeah. Let's pray. So, Father, your people are waiting. Your people are holding up their emotions, and they're holding up their situations, and they're holding up their anguish, and they're holding up even some of their joy right now. There are some who are holding prayers of answered prayers. And so you tell us in this passage that if we wanted a key to access joy every day, that you call us to pray in your son's name. And so as followers of your son, as individuals who believe that he is Lord and Savior, we come in his name. We come as your children. And we don't come on our own merit. We come on the finished work of your son, Jesus, on the cross. And we come actually saying, God, is there anything in our lives that's not aligned with your will? And we pray even for a heart of repentance now, because we want our wills to be aligned with yours. And we come submitting our lives to your will. We believe that you are good, and you will sometimes say yes. We have go codes. We have the green light. You will bless. And then other times you tell us to wait, but you still tell us to pray in your name, Jesus. And there are some audacious prayers on these cards. And we ask that you would intervene right now by the power of your name, Jesus. By your authority in heaven and earth, every knee will bow at in heaven and earth at your name, Jesus. And so we're coming right now as children of your Father, as your brothers and sisters, the text says. And we ask that you would answer according to your will. And until such time, we ask that you would Help us to be patient as we wait for your answer. So we pray that you would answer, and as we get the answer, that you would fill our lives to overflowing with joy. We thank you. We love you. Your people raise their hands to you. Say, we trust you. We pray all of this in the mighty and matchless and the authoritative name. The name at that name, every knee will bow. At that name, demons will tremble. At that name, we submit our lives to you afresh. And we say, transform us, make us disciples that would change the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Let's worship together.
Man, that's so good. So if you didn't have time to write that down, that audacious prayer, now's a good time as we continue in worship. I'm just letting the, based on what Marvin, where Marvin, Pastor Marvin went, we had a different song planned. This is, hey, this is how we are attentive to the Spirit. Completely different song that we have never tried before. It's an original song. But based on what you had said, Pastor Marvin, like in Jesus' name, this is how the song goes. Yours is the name, the only name I'll praise. Jesus, the name that saves. That's the chorus of this song. So, if you would allow us to just have some time to worship together. This is a song that might not be familiar, which is fine. But as we gather in Jesus' name, we just want to be able to lift his name up, the power of his name, as Pastor Marvin, I know your name. I know your name, man. Pastor Marvin has led us. So if you need more time, go ahead and do that. I'm trying to give our team a little bit more time just to try this, get set up, because some of them have never heard this song, I'm guessing. This will be fun.
Cheers! Whew. Man, I would just want to affirm like that song swap. That was good. That was real good. Hey, man, thank you guys so much for joining us today. It has been a lot of fun to be out here in the yard and under the tent with you all. Like, man, so thank you for coming to hang out. It's going to be a fun afternoon still. So if you can stick around, I know, like, man, maybe you're thinking, I've got so much on my list today. I got to rush off and do this next thing. Like, believe me, I do too, right? Like, I got a big afternoon also. But if you can stick around and hang out, we're going to do some more songs. Kona Ice is here. Man, if you're hot and you want to go get a Kona Ice before you leave, do that. I'm going to be over here at the grill. Cornhole's over there. Like, but before you rush off to the next thing, man, say hey to someone in the yard that you haven't met yet. Like, connect with someone real quick. Talk to someone here in your family and, like, it's going to be fun. It's going to be super fun. Yeah, man.
All right. Thanks, BT. Yeah. You guys are dismissed, but we're going to keep worshiping a little bit if you want to come join us in the tent.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Whoa.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to calm me out.
You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown.
You've never been closer than you are right now.
You are
Jireh.
You are enough. Jireh. You are enough. And I will be
content in every circumstance.
You are Jireh. I don't want to forget how I feel right now. On the mountaintop, I can see so clear what it's all about. Stay by my side when the sun goes down. Don't want to forget how I feel. Sing
enough, more than enough.